Analyze defects and identify performance gaps. Identification and analysis of defects and performance gaps related to metrics can use a process called metrics decomposition. Metrics decomposition involves breaking down a metric that is drawn from a KPI tree into its component measurements to determine what portion of the metric most contributes to a given defect and is therefore able to provide the most benefit if improved. Different types of metrics will have different types of gaps. Cost metrics might be decomposed by determining how costs are directly assigned or allocated to the cost for costs that are shared among units or products. Cycle time measures can decompose into component cycle times and to individual times for a given substep. Inventory can be decomposed into its physical locations, nodes, and who owns it, organization, business unit, functional area. Product damage can be measured by location, including in-transit damage. Here we discuss analyzing defects and identifying performance gaps for attribute areas in general, and then address some key metrics as examples. Perfect customer order fulfillment cycle time, supply chain agility, total supply chain management cost, and cash-to-cash cycle time. Analysis for attribute areas. Here are some types of analysis that can be conducted when evaluating supply chain strategic attribute areas, using the SCORE DS performance attributes as an example. Reliability, study defect or damage data or audits and accuracy of documentation, bills of lading, invoices, packing lists, dates, and quantities. Responsiveness, conduct time studies, create supplier, input, process, output, customer, SIPOC diagrams, study capacity, for example, theory of constraints. Agility, self-assess flexibility, evaluate capacity constraints, or conduct a fault tree analysis to assess capacity change risk. Cost, assemble data on cost to perform work, fix errors, and prevent errors. Profit, examine revenue, COGS, SG&A, and taxes paid by business unit, assets. Examine inventory aging, SKU diversity, planning levels, cash borrowed or other short-term liabilities, and accounts payable and receivable days. Environmental, review triple bottom line goals and records on renewable/non-renewable materials, energy, water, greenhouse gas emissions, and waste. Social, review triple bottom line goals and records on diversity and wage levels, as well as training data from human resources and data on social responsibility within the community. Analysis for perfect customer order fulfillment. Exhibit 2-32 shows an analysis that Sample Incorporated conducted for perfect customer order fulfillment that places the first sort of whys, here the four main level 2 metrics, in columns, and cross-references them against the second sort of whys in rows. Error rates for the columns appear above the error rate labels across the top. Sample Incorporated defined its four first sort categories as failures in the four level 2 metrics that make up perfect customer order fulfillment. Other organizations might make up their own first-level defects based on historical defects experienced, such as a sales order and late payment status defect category. The second sort categories in rows represent some level 3 metric failures and some custom categories. Note how this perspective helps highlight where a failure at the second sort level could impact more than one first sort category. Gathering the data for this study requires assembling sales orders, invoices, and shipping documents, and then sorting them in various ways, such as ship to location, customer, supplier, fulfillment DC, SKU line number, carrier, and so on. Analysis for customer order fulfillment cycle time. One way to analyze customer order fulfillment cycle time is to take a sample of actual customer orders and compare each against the organization's defect threshold for this metric. The Sample Incorporated Petroleum and Chemical Products case study selected parity for customer order fulfillment cycle time, which is 9.1 days. Their benchmark results were 6 days, so they were already doing quite well. Since they would be making other changes to improve other metrics, they chose to set the threshold for a defect at 9 days or more. Since the benchmark result is an average, they still wanted to look at their failures to understand why they were occurring. To determine their failure rate, they reviewed a random sample of 309 orders. The sample size should be statistically significant if a sample is used. Another option would be to use advanced analytics or AI to review all orders and develop a histogram. See Exhibit 2-33, showing the breakdown. Exhibit 2-33, sample, incorporated. Customer order fulfillment cycle time histogram analysis. Based on this definition of a defect, there were 5 orders with 10 days, 2 orders 11 days, and 1 order at 12 days for a total of 8 failed orders. The defect rate was then 8/309 equals 0.26%. Sample, Incorporated then analyzed why these orders failed by looking at how cycle time was broken down for this specific process. For example, they used a subset of the level 2 score DS metrics that they actually used in this process to help define these categories, as shown in Exhibit 2-34. While this area may not need improvement at this time, analysis of what is working can help ensure that it keeps working at least as well after the changes. Analysis for supply chain agility. Supply chain agility can be measured in score DS as a strategic or an operational metric. At the strategic level, it is the number of days needed to make a 25% unplanned change in demand, higher or lower, without needing expedite costs or experiencing defects in other metric areas such as profit, revenue, COGS, SG&A, balance sheet, and inventory. The sum of the order, source, transform, and fulfill planned lead times is the number of days. This would be compared to the chosen parity, advantage, or superior target in days. Determining what is a defect for supply chain agility may require 2 comparisons. Determine each SK, use standard total lead time in the master data, and compare this against its actual total lead time. SKUs that exceed the standard lead time will likely be considered defects. This process can be repeated for level 2 metrics as the second Y for order, source, transform, and fulfill agility master data standard versus actual lead times. Doing this at the SKU level allows for some items that are lower in priority to have longer allowed lead times. Compare each SK, use actual total lead time to the competitive requirement. All total lead times above this amount might be defects. Sample, Incorporated created a histogram showing the number of SKUs that fell into each range of days to get to 25% change in order size sustainably, defining these defects as any SKU that took longer than the selected parity level of 30 days. Exhibit 2-35 shows that despite their average being 35 days, 2/3, or 62 of the 92 SKUs were above 30 days. Exhibit 2-35. Sample, incorporated number of SKUs by days to get to 25% change in order size sustainably. Each failure can then be given additional scrutiny, but to reduce the necessary analysis time, find ways to segment the SKUs into meaningful failure categories such as by product hierarchy, bill of material, plant or DC, volume or product family. For example, Exhibit 2-36 shows how Sample, Incorporated used a stacked bar chart to show the breakdown of lead time elements of 4 of their highest priority product families in defect status, 2 of which were subcategorized as high-volume subsets of the family. Exhibit 2-36, Sample, Incorporated analysis of selected product families in agility defect status. Analysis for total supply chain management cost. A good way to analyze total supply chain management cost is to create a Pareto chart to rank all of the costs from highest to lowest and show which areas create the most cumulative total cost. Exhibit 2-37 shows an example for Sample, Incorporated focusing only on the costs for its West Coast distributor supply chain. Exhibit 2-37, Sample, Incorporated Pareto chart for West Coast distributor supply chain management costs. The exhibit shows that outbound transport, finished goods, FG inventory holding, inbound transport, and raw material, RM inventory holding, are the top cost categories. Addressing failures in these areas will provide the most gain for the investment. Another thing to look at is all of the costs against their cost over time to see outliers or trends, for example, cost rising quickly. Analysis for cash-to-cash cycle time. Let's revisit the Sample, Incorporated cash-to-cash cycle time gaps as shown in Exhibit 2-38. Exhibit 2-38, Sample, Incorporated cash-to-cash cycle time days, levels 1 to 3 benchmark results. Cash-to-cash cycle time equals inventory days of supply plus days sales outstanding minus days payables outstanding. In this example, inventory days of supply can be further segmented by days of finished goods, AM3.5, work in process, AM3.2, and raw material, AM3.1, plus possibly other metrics such as defective or excess inventory. Consider different ways that the data could be segmented even more in the ERP or other system, such as by ABC inventory categories, by customer, by product family, and so on. For example, Sample Incorporated defined these defect thresholds for its finished goods inventory days of supply, which has a target goal of 10 days of supply. Category A, high volume SKUs. Inventory days of supply greater than 4 days. Category B, middle volume SKUs. Inventory days of supply greater than 8 days. Category C, low volume SKUs. Inventory days of supply greater than 16 days. Category D, lowest volume SKUs. Inventory days of supply greater than 32 days. Category E, excess, shrink, and obsolete. Inventory days of supply greater than 0 days. This allowed them to conduct the gap assessment by analyzing inventory by monetary value broken down by these categories, as well as by product family and by SNOP-defined business units. Note that Sample Incorporated uses these 5 categories, but many organizations use fewer categories, such as just A, B, and C. The Sample Incorporated analysis of its cash-to-cash cycle time at the first level of Y looks at the level 2 metrics, finding that days payables outstanding is very close to its target, as is days sales outstanding, given the relaxed parity target, while far too high inventory days of supply is the main reason for the variance. Looking at the second level of Y, or why is inventory days of supply so high, the team examines the level 3 metrics. Too high finished goods inventory days is the main culprit, with some room for improvement in raw materials. They also go down to the third why, or why is finished goods days so high? They rely on ABC inventory analysis and find that all categories of ABC inventory are too high, but especially categories A, B, and E. Referring to the business context summary, they note that one cause of high finished goods inventory days of supply for A and B items is the decision to maintain stocks of inventory at customer locations. This decision was made due to prior delivery failures, so the assumption should be challenged rather than assuming that the policy needs to stay in place. E-item defects are caused by a lack of a regular review process to liquidate or write off and responsibly dispose of such inventory.